Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
I just want someone who'll go and prepare the way, who'll go say, repent. Will say, you know what? There is a righteousness that you can't attain to. There is one who died for your sins because you'll never get there on your own, but who will freely receive you. That's what the world needs. We need to bring that message back into the church, back into our language, back into our lives. I think there are some things we need to stop or start. We need to repent and walk in right ways with the Lord.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
What did Jesus come to this earth to do? What were his goals? Well, first and foremost, he came to make a way for us to be forgiven. By his shed blood, we can have access to the Father. Secondly, he came to live as an example for you and I as believers. Jesus preached repentance. He exhorted people to turn back to the truth of his word. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 11, as we join Pastor Troy for the conclusion of our message entitled, Change Now.
Confession. That's not repentance. Even confessing to the Lord you did some things, that's not repentance. If you confess it just to get it erased so that you can go do some more. Repentance is changing your direction. Now, these are part of the process, I think. Feeling guilty, crying could be a part of the process. Saying, I'm sorry, confessing, all those things can be part of the process of repentance, but they are not repentance. Jesus gave a clear message of repentance, very direct, very short message, to a woman caught in adultery. They brought her, caught her in her sin, in the very act, they said, threw her at his feet. And Jesus gave the message of grace and repentance. He said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Let me make a point here. So before you guys are so harsh to judge, and no one could throw a stone. They all left, dropped their stones, and took off. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? They're not here. He said, well, then neither do I condemn you. And then he gave the message, go and sin no more. When Jesus says that, he's speaking about an issue, a sin that has been pointed to in her life. He's not saying, go and be a perfectly sinless person when he says that. He's saying, now go and don't do this anymore. It has been pointed out. It has been brought to your attention. Now that it has, stop it. That's a message of repentance. Repent is more than being persuaded. Repentance only happens when a decision is made on your part. And there must be a decision made. You have to decide. The athlete who wants to win that gold medal in the Olympics, they don't always feel like training. They don't always feel like sticking to that diet that they've got to stick to. They grumble about, oh, so difficult. After they, you know, retire from sports, they oh, finally I can eat the things I haven't been able to eat for 16 years, man. Well, how'd they do it? They made a decision. And they stuck with it. You need to make a decision. And you must make that decision. No one will make it for you. Billy Graham, when he taught, as simple as his messages were, he always said, you got to decide. You must make a decision. Do you remember what his radio program was called? The Hour of Decision. He understood. Why was he such a great evangelist? Because he didn't just give good news and say, if you love the Lord, come forward. He said, you must decide. If a child... Well, we've had this happen before. You know, when our children were much younger, 2, 3 years old, and you're teaching them no, to obey, you know. You don't want them to go out in the street. Bad habit. You can get hit by a vehicle. And so you're working on the front yard. Kids are out there and they're walking, but they're going in a direction they should not go, a dangerous direction, one that you forbid. and they walk, and you say, no, or stop, don't go in the street, there's an opportunity for repentance. First, the no that they hear, that's called conviction. They hear that voice. Sometimes it's a still small voice, like they can barely hear us. But they hear that small voice, conviction. Uh-oh. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Conviction. The more worldly you are, the tinier that voice seems to be. The volume of the world is loud. You can barely hear God. But the closer to Him you get, the louder that voice becomes. And so as you're going towards the street, no. You have a choice. Stopping in your tracks is not repentance. Stopping in your tracks is considering. It's hearing and then trying to decide. Leaving this option open, leaving that option. Maybe there's a little rebellion. I know I need to turn back, but I'm not going to turn back because I know that's what you want me to do. And if I turn back, you're going to be thinking, oh, I'm the parent here. And so there's a little rebellion that caused you to stay right there. Repentance is humbling yourself, turning, and doing the right thing. And it doesn't matter what people think. You do the right things, no matter where you're at, no matter how hard-hearted you've been. You must stop, turn around, and follow Christ. You know, when you take notes, it's fine to take notes on cool points. Ooh, that was a good piece of historical stuff. I'm going to look that up. Or, hey, the way the tabernacle, boy, that was good information. It's okay to take notes on information, but don't waste all of your writing on information. If you're going to jot down things, here's what you should focus on jotting down. Don't miss them. One, anytime you discover the character of God, write that down. God is loving. Because some of you aren't. You need to understand that. We also need to understand God commands repentance. Because some of us are so loving, we forgot that. God does command repentance. God is going to judge. Characters of God. Another thing, write down whenever the Lord convicts you. This isn't even going to be Bible text necessarily. This is just going to be, ooh. Scripture says that Satan is a thief, that we're not to steal. Stop taking those supplies from the office supply cabinet. Do that one. Put a star by that one. That's the Lord. Yeah, that's the Lord. Write those things down. Be more loving to my spouse. That's the character of God. That's the heart of God. Write those things down. You're either with God or you're not. Why this message of repentance? Well, we're told right here, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's why. You're either with the kingdom of heaven or you're against or you're not with the kingdom of heaven. And you know what? There is no in between. In Luke 11:23, Jesus said this, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." You're either doing the work, you're following him, or anything else is not. We're pursuing righteousness and that upward call in Christ, or we're doing our own thing. And even if your own thing seems good, it's still rebellion. It still excludes God. And you're like that person standing there, not turning around, not going that way. I know what you want me to do, God. You want me to go to Africa and live over there and minister and not eat American food anymore. And I just don't know if that's what I want. So we're here. He just says, stop this sin. And we were already got Africa mapped out. Chill out. If it is Africa, he's going to prepare you for Africa. I'm not going to send you today. Stop that. Now go to Africa. I knew it. That's not what he does. He prepares you in so that here's what will happen. You will choose Africa. You will go, man, I met this guy from Africa. And then there was these kids and I saw this commercial. Man, I want to go. I want to be at that place. God will start to do that work. But you have to give him room. Stop trying to figure him out and just trust him. Let go. Let go. And trust him. Be committed. Follow him with all of your heart. And he will take you places you never thought you would go. And you certainly aren't worthy to. But you got to commit yourself to follow him. We need to do a better job in the church, including this idea of repentance, turning and following the Lord. According to Mark 1:14, even Jesus' first message was repentance. Stop it. Start doing the right things. Another thing about just stopping it, when you just stop it, you're still right there thinking about it. Like, man, I could go across the street. You're in rebellion. But if you turn around and busy yourself with things on the right side of the street, you get too busy to think about all the other stuff. And you overcome. You become an overcomer. The illustration was given to us in the form of casting out a demon in someone. If the demon leaves and you don't fill it up, it's just cleaned up and swept and left empty, then he comes back. He's going to come back 7 times stronger. It's going to be worse. You're going to be more empty. You're going to be more stuck. So what we have to do, part of the repentance is turning and involving ourselves in the right things. Then you don't think about all that other stuff. And God changes everything. So that's the message. Now the messenger. For this is he who was spoken of, verse 3, by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. You think the food's bad in Africa? John chose it. It says there's a prophecy that John is fulfilling. It's Isaiah 40, verse 3. He's the one called who's going to prepare the way for the Messiah, for grace, for salvation. What needs to be understood before grace, before salvation? Well, this idea of repentance. Something needs to change. Something is wrong here. And until you realize that, you don't really sense a need for salvation, right? John fulfilled that prophecy. He prepared the hearts for the people. You know, even John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was told that this is what his son would do. It said the angel in Luke 1:17, Gabriel told Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, he will go before him, the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Elijah, one of the prophets, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John stood out. He was a different kind of guy. Rough around the edges. Very direct. My mom used to say, sometimes you're unapologetic. You know, you just say it. Like it's truth. Well, is it? I mean, sometimes you just don't beat around the bush. Like, let time do its thing. Sprinkle a little bit of word on there and let time do its thing. Sometimes you need to just say, hey, here's what we see. Here's what's going on. And the truth is, somebody who really does want to pursue the Lord and pursue righteousness, it'll sting. It always does. But they'll also say, you know, that's true. I've got a decision to make. I can stand here now. I can humble myself because I don't want him to think he's right. I can stand here and just stare and not go anywhere in life. Or I can turn and walk the right way. And a person who really wants to follow the Lord will ultimately follow the Lord. And others fall away. Yeah, that kind of counsel doesn't sit well with the fish who aren't serious about following the Lord. So he stood out. John was not weird for weird's sake. He was exactly who God created him to be. So he didn't try to do things to be weird. He didn't do things, obviously, to follow some cultural trend because everyone else was doing it either. He was who he was. People were intrigued by him. Maybe that's part of what drew the people all the way out into the wilderness to see this guy. Kind of like what God does today. He takes not the religious elite, not those who have the masters and doctrine, the masters of divinity. Can you imagine that? You've mastered divinity? That doesn't even make sense. But we have it. And so we have all these degrees for religion. God says, look, I don't need those. In fact, many of those throw you off course. I just want somebody who will prepare the way. You're not Jesus. My son is the way. I just want someone who'll go and prepare the way, who'll go say, repent, who'll say, you know what? There is a righteousness that you can't obtain to. There is one who died for your sins because you'll never get there on your own, but who will freely receive you. That's what the world needs. We need to bring that message back into the church, back into our language, back into our lives. I think there are some things we need to stop or start. We need to repent and walk in right ways with the Lord. John was being used by God. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has a plan for you. God wants to use you, your life. You might feel like that just can't happen, but He wants to use you. Now, are you willing? Are you willing to turn from those ways that are yours and begin to submit yourself and follow God's plan, what He wants? You don't have to figure it out. You know what you do? Here's what you do. You ask the Lord step by step, Lord, do you want me to be involved here at this tiny little fellowship? Because that's where I was at. I sought the Lord. I knew by a conversation, man, this is where God wants me to be. I didn't know why. I just knew here I was at the beginning of the work that I knew I was supposed to be. And because of that decision, I stuck to it because I knew it was the Lord. So ask yourselves, God, what do you want? What do you want from me? And then when you hear, commit and go, work, serve, grow, be committed. It's going to be a daily thing. Every day. There are going to be days you don't feel like it. But that's when commitment is necessary. The days you do feel like it, commitment's not really required. You feel like it. You want to. The commitment is necessary when you don't feel like it. That's what this wedding ring is all about. That's why publicly we wear it. There are some days me and my wife are disagreeing about certain things. I think a different wife might think differently. But I don't go, okay, I'm done. I'm going to go spend a week looking for another wife. If I find one, you're out of here. If I don't, I don't do that. But listen, we do it with church. Here's what I want in a church. I want all this stuff. And the pastor doesn't do it my way. Well, I'm out of here. I'm going to go look for another church. I'll keep you on my little map. I'll be back maybe if I don't find something out there. But commit to where God wants you to be, because that's what we tell people when they come and they're visiting and checking us out. I really want people to be where God wants them to be, because I have learned that if they're here, if they're in the wrong place, they're just going to be a headache. They're always going to, they're going to complain all the time. They're going to complain all the time. They're going to bash me all the time. We don't need all that. We just want to honor the Lord. So if you want to follow the Lord, go and be where God wants you to be. Follow Him. And if it's here, I hate to tell you this, we're going to hold you up to some standards. When you commit to serve, we're going to expect you to be there. We're going to expect you to follow the Word of God. And that's the way we roll around here. So if you're called here, commit. And trust the Lord, because God has a plan for you. You may not be Billy Graham, you may not be John the Baptist, but you're you, and you're the only you in this world. And God wants to use you. And when you do what God wants, guess what? People will start to look for you. You could be cleaning toilets. And all I want to do is clean toilets around, and there's only two. So, you know, it's not like I'm doing a whole lot. But you know what? When people see your activity, your commitment, your joy, your life, maybe your family, whatever it is, they go, wow, man, what you're different. I'm attracted to you. I'm drawn to you. When you do what God wants you to do, you become attractive to the world. It's not about the position. It's about doing the thing that God's created you to do. You excel at it. When you excel at something, it inspires people. They might not be inspired to do what you do, but they want to do it the way you do it. The gifting of God, the calling of God. Then, says verse 5, Jerusalem, all Judea, all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins to this big, burly, hairy man eating locusts. And maybe they didn't go to dinner with him, but they went out and were baptized by him. They went to the outskirts. You know, this wasn't a convenient place. Now, our church is in a pretty convenient spot. But John the Baptist, the baptizer, he was not in a convenient spot. He was way down south toward the Dead Sea. It was wilderness, barren. We might call it desert. So you had to make this hot walk, and it's a walk all the way down there to get to him. The only ones who would see him en route would be travelers traveling long distances. But other than that, no one would see him. So they went out to him to be baptized, to hear that message. But here's a question. Why are you here today? Do you really want to hear God speak? Or are you just here, you do like a small church and you like the people? That's good. But do you want to hear the voice of God today? Are you ready to respond? Because what they did is they listened to the message, they took it to heart, they responded to the message by coming forward and being baptized. Their baptism followed an understanding of the need to repent. Scripture says, Hebrews 3:15, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. John's message of repentance was a message we all need to hear. Repent. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Has the Lord spoken to your heart things that you need to turn from, change? Change now while you're thinking about it. John's message was of repentance, but it wasn't the complete message. There's more. Because you can't, from this spot here, looking and going back this way, you can't do it on your own. You need a helper. The complete message involves that helper, the Holy Spirit of God. Corrie ten Boom said, trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you naturally. It's not difficult. Oh, there'll be hard times. There's a decision to make. But it flows. It's enjoyable. When Paul came into the town of Ephesus, he met a group of people after Apollos had preached there. Apollos had gone on to Corinth. Paul comes into Ephesus now, and he notices something. He says, have you guys received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we haven't even heard that there is such thing as the Holy Spirit. Well, what were you baptized into? He said, we were baptized into John's baptism. I said, okay. So he baptized them in Jesus, in the forgiveness of sins, the remission of sins, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out on their life. And they were different. Right now, you can be filled with the power of God to be different. Instead of considering change today, instead of sensing that need for change and not changing 10 to 15 and 20 years down the road, can you make that decision today to follow the Lord? Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.